Welcome to Her Story, a project by Chick History. I'm your host, Rebecca Price. For 1 year, we asked 50 contemporary women to share the story of the historical woman who has inspired her. Join us every week for a new story of inspiration, from the headliners to the lesser-known gems.
Dust off the books, read all the letters, preserve with time. Dig out the truth written between the lines. Her history cannot be left behind. She shall not be forgotten.
Joining us today for her story number 14 is Lauren Silberman. Lauren is author of two books, The Jewish Community of Baltimore and her recently released Wicked Baltimore, Charm City, Sin, and Scandal. She has worked at several museums in the Mid-Atlantic area, including the Phillips Collection in Washington, D.C., and the Jewish Museum of Maryland. She is also currently the program coordinator for the Museum Assessment Program with the American Association of Museums. To learn more about Lauren and her work, you can visit her website, lsilberman.com. Lauren, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And who have you selected to share with us today?
I've selected a woman named Kate Warren, who was the first female detective in the country.
Well, tell us all a little bit about Kate Warren.
Kate's a really fascinating figure. She's little remembered today, but she was a product of the antebellum time period, born around 1830 in upstate New York, and her early life is very much a mystery. But she bursts onto the page in 1856 in Chicago when she shows up in Alan Pinkerton's famous detective agency and asks, you know, straightforwardly to be a detective. He's a little astounded by this. He was fairly progressive, but he had never heard of a woman detective before. But she made her case that a woman could worm out access to places that men couldn't, and he agreed. And he hired her. He treated her just like he did any one of his other detectives. And they went on to have some pretty amazing adventures together. She was involved in quite a number of his cases up until her death in 1868, and he really revered her. Perhaps her most important case was when President-elect Lincoln was heading on his Lincoln Special, the train ride going from Illinois to Washington, D.C., in getting ready for the inauguration, Pinkerton and a number of other operatives were in Baltimore during the weeks leading up to that. And they were actually there at the bequest of Samuel Felton, who was the president of the Philadelphia, Wilmington, and Baltimore Railroad, because he was concerned about potential rebel activities that might disrupt the train lines. He had actually heard this from Dorothea Dix, the famous philanthropist who had moved in a number of different circles and heard the possibility that this might occur. Well, while they were researching this and infiltrating groups and all of that, they determined that there was a plot afoot to assassinate Lincoln. And Pinkerton sent Kate up to New York to start warning some of the people in Lincoln's group and his entourage. She met with various folks while up there, and Pinkerton came up to Philadelphia. She comes down to Philadelphia at the same time, and Pinkerton goes and convinces Lincoln that there was danger. And actually, at the same time, William Seward, who would go on to become Secretary of State, had also been independently investigating this and had come to the same conclusion and sent his son, Frederick, to also go tell Lincoln. So having these two independent groups come and say that there was this danger happening, that he was going to be killed while in Baltimore, you know, from some of these rebel groups, convince Lincoln to go ahead of schedule overnight through the city. To get that together, though, Pinkerton entrusted Kate to go secure the berths in the train, that, you know, to make sure that they would have a place to hide Lincoln, because they, you know, put him undercover just like they tended to do. And in the train car itself, it was just Lincoln, Pinkerton, Ward Hill Lamon, who is a lawyer from Illinois, just like Lincoln was. And Ward Hill Lamon was sort of Lincoln's self-appointed bodyguard. So it was just the four of them. And it's really amazing that Kate was among this quartet, you know, going through the dead of night, because they didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't know if somebody might blow up the train. They didn't know if there might be people who would find them out on board. They didn't know if anyone would board the train in Baltimore. Part of the problem was that to get from Baltimore to D.C., or really to get from any points north to D.C. via railroad, required coming into the city and decoupling the railroad cars from the rest of the train and taking them via horseback through the downtown, and then recoupling the train cars to an engine at Camden Yards. Baltimore had an old law on the books that prevented trains from going through the downtown, because that would have disrupted commerce in the city. So when they got to the heart of the city, it was in the middle of the night, and there was sort of a deathly quiet taking over the downtown of Baltimore. Pinkerton actually had Kate get off the train at this point and stay in the city to sort of take the temperature of the populace and figure out how they were going to respond to the fact that Lincoln had really completely humiliated them. They were supposed to have had Lincoln speak to them. And even though the city had really treated this opportunity with a lot of disregard, the mayor had not made any formal invitations. Lincoln had all of about 2% of the vote in Maryland. And the media here, the Sun and the other newspapers, were openly vicious towards Lincoln. But nonetheless, the fact that the president would, you know, do this and avoid the city entirely was a really horrible act. And they would have seen it as an act of cowardice. They would have seen it as that they weren't worthy of having the president there. And tensions were already simmering in the city. I mentioned those rebel forces, these secessionist groups that were hanging out there, that Kate and the other operatives were going undercover and infiltrating. They were drilling openly in the city. The Congress had had various committees who had interviewed members, and you read some of the transcripts and you think, wow, this really sounds like treason. But at the time, there was a very different view regarding state and local militias versus a federal army, that there was a very different perspective, you know, because you have these people saying, oh, well, we'll only attack if the federal government sends troops through Maryland. It's pretty remarkable that, you know, what this group of operatives and what Kate was getting herself into. Meanwhile, Lincoln, Pinkerton, and Ward Hill Lamon continue on down to Washington and make it there safe and sound. I mean, today we know that that's going to happen because, of course, everyone knows what happens later. But at the time, this group had no idea that that was going to be the situation. They had no idea that they were going to be safe and that this act would enable the president-elect to become the president. There are historians who have debated the veracity of this story. They've argued, you know, that this was Pinkerton's bombastic nature, that he was just trying to get himself in good with Lincoln and, you know, was building himself up. And I'll be the first to admit that, that Pinkerton was a big showman. You know, he would go on to write a number of books, several of which featured Kate in prominent roles. But I think that the only reason that we're arguing about this is because they were able to keep it from happening. I really do. And I think the fact that Kate was a part of this story is just remarkable, that she had such an important role in making sure that Lincoln would make it through Baltimore and to D.C. safely. It's just, when I first read about her and first heard about that, it was astounding to me, because I had no idea that there was a woman that involved.
And what is it about Kate that inspires you today?
A lot about Kate inspires me. I mean, she really breaks the mold. I mean, she grows up in a time period when women do not have much of any legal rights, very few. And if they marry, they really lose any remaining rights. They really just become property of their husbands. So there's not a lot of opportunities for women at that point. And, you know, society expectations really keep women to the domestic sphere, you know, that they're supposed to be in the houses and they're supposed to be in the kitchens. And, you know, and the fact that Kate not only avoids that or evades that, but that she would go and select for herself such an atypical role as a detective is amazing to me. I mean, even today, I mean, there are certainly women in police force, there are certainly women in the military, and there are, you know, women investigators, but it's not something you generally associate it. It's not a role you often think about, and just to consider that she was doing this back then is really inspiring, because it really makes you think that really anything is possible, that somebody growing up in a world of that much repression can build this kind of life. You know, Kate grew up in Chemung County in New York, and it is notable that she grew up only about 70 miles or so from the Seneca Falls Convention in 1848, when all of those luminaries of you know, developing women's progressive movement were meeting. And Kate herself would have been about 18 when that was happening. You know, so definitely at a pivotal time in her own history. Well, when they get together years later to write their history of women's suffrage, they pose the question about women being in the police force and then answer it about with Kate's life. So she was noted at the time. I think she deserves to be remembered today. And I'm constantly inspired by the idea that a person, especially a woman, can really do whatever she wants with her passion. It's just absolutely amazing.
And do you have a book recommendation to give to listeners so they can start learning more about her?
That's really difficult. There's not been a biography written on her, largely because not only was she a detective and working undercover, but there was this little fire you may have heard of in Chicago around 1871 that took out all of Pinkerton's files. And Kate had already passed away at this point. So there's the only things that remain from her life are these three reports from the Baltimore plot. That's the story I was just talking about, which are collected in a series of reports about the overall case. I first learned about her while reading The Baltimore Plot by Michael Klein. It's an excellent book about the whole story and all of the figures in it. And he talks about Kate, not in great length, but he certainly gives her her due. He also talks about one of the other female operatives involved, Hattie Lawton, who was assigned up in Perrymansville with Timothy Webster, one of the other detectives. And so if you're interested in this story and her, and really it is the central story, I think, of her life, that would probably be a really good resource to get started with. It's also just a gripping read. You know what's going to happen. You know that Lincoln will make it through. And yet you're turning each page very quickly to find out, well, how did it happen? Because it really builds up the suspense for thinking it might not. You know, at least I hadn't realized how fortunate we were and how easily things could have been different.
All right. Well, there you have it for Kate Warren. Lauren, thank you so much for sharing her story with us.
Thank you. I really enjoyed doing this.
To learn more about her story and other projects by Chick History, you can visit the website chickhistory.com. And please join us every week for another story of an inspirational woman in history.
I'm here to tell a story, something precious and fine, about a woman who made a difference with her life. She might not be known, but to only a few, her story remembered here is gonna change that view. Her history cannot be left behind. She shall not be forgotten. Her story not forgotten.